Hey everybody, welcome to another segment of Tony's show. Tonight we are going to be in some hard-hitting potting. And not potty potting. And I'm going to start off right away with something I think every Canadian needs to hear. Every Canadian. We are losing the country. And I'm not kidding you. They are going to take away your freedom of speech. And I'm going to let you listen to this. And you need to share this with everybody in this country. And those of you down in the United States that are hearing this program as well, you're next. So if they screw us here, it's going to roll into America. So, without further ado, I'm going to play this. And for those of us in Canada, oh Canada, wake your ass up. Hold on.
Earlier in the spring, the Liberals brought forward an amendment to their own bill, which removed a section that originally protected the content that individuals would post online. When that section was removed, of course, it caused disarray at committee. The Liberals didn't really like that very much, and so they moved something called time allocation in the House of Commons, which limited debate at committee to 5 hours. This meant that hundreds of pages of material was only given 5 hours to be considered, after which time members of the committee were forced to vote on the bill, including its amendments and sub-amendments. Again, those were not made public. No discussion was allowed. From here, the bill will go to the Senate, where it will be discussed further. My hope, my genuine hope, is that the Senate will have the opportunity to examine this bill and to hear from witnesses. In particular, it is my hope that the witnesses they bring forward include creators from digital-first platforms. Why do I hope that? Because those individuals have been left out of the conversation, and yet they are impacted to the greatest extent. Is it censors the content that we place online? See, Bill C-10 is backed up by many lobby groups that are pushing for a 30% Canadian programming expenditure requirement as a share of revenue per year. Actually pass that cost down to consumers. So costs are actually expected to rise by about 50%, according to experts. Now, Canadians already pay some of the highest rates in the world. So with Bill C-10, they can expect to be taxed even more greatly. Bill C-10 doesn't just infringe on free expression, it constitutes a full-blown assault upon it, and through it, the foundation of democracy. This bill will infringe upon the ability that Canadians have to post online. They go on YouTube, perhaps looking for a video on how to fix a bicycle chain, or maybe they want to look up information having to do with the War of 1812. They're looking for content that is going to fit their need. Now they will go on, and the government will determine what that need might be. Earlier in the spring.
There you go. There you go. This is controlled speech, no matter how you cut it. And whether you can afford to say something. You know, we're going to have to leave the country in order to talk about Canada without all these regulations that they're trying to impose. This is going to go a lot further. A lot further. This is testing the water to see how compliant and complacent Canadians really are in regarding to their rights. If you think you're going to be able to just sit on your ass at home and watch an effing hockey game and drinking a beer, I got news for you. They're going to control what you watch, when you can watch it, how much you're going to pay to watch it, who you can hear, what they want you to hear. They may even eventually do what China does. China will not allow certain things to be put on the internet over there because they don't want their people programmed or having actual real knowledge or real truth. I talked to somebody once about certain things over there in China online. And I had to refrain from talking to her too much about what the subject matter was because she implied very strongly that the government may not approve. We are following that same prototype. We were following the same paradigm, same narrative. Pretty soon, we're not going to see the Maple Leaf flying anymore. We're just going to see, you know, Trudeau's face with five stars saying we signed up with China. That's what we're going to see, or some facsimile of that. What a repulsive idea that is, but you get the gist. You get the gist. So I'm presenting this to, like I said, I'm a potter, and I'm not going to really back down and saying whatever I feel the need to say. Freedom of speech platform. I heard today another, just before the show, some, a friend of mine from out west, minister, again, the same minister has now been arrested again. See, this is insanity. That and in Canada, we're just sitting there, you know, like we're being entertained. We're watching an arena. We're watching gladiators fighting in an arena. That's what we're doing. Not saying anything. We're not doing anything. This whole fucking mess has been nothing but pure bullshit all the way across. This fake was designed to create this dynamic that we're having today so that they can bring in this bullshit. This is all it's about. It's all it's been about. There was never a pandemic. We know Fauci lied through his teeth. We know Fauci was part of this. Now we're talking genetic material. You know, this is so funny. It's almost a satire. It was the second thing they said that happened at the very beginning. And I said, of all the bullshit they told us about Wuhan, fish at a fish market, oh, it spread some major boo-boo. And then they said genetic material from a lab in South Carolina wound up in a lab in Winnipeg and got shipped over to China. That was the only story I believed. And then they said afterwards it came from bats, and the bats were spreading this disease, and then it came from bat shit. This is bat shit crazy is what this is. And now today we're finding out, that the lab material came from North America through Winnipeg. Our own government officials would sell us down the toilet faster than you can blink an eye. And if they can make a dollar and take away your rights, they're going to. That's what Stephen Harper, signed when he made a deal with China. If there was any rules that would engage them to lose money, that they would change our laws. This is exactly what they're doing. We're adapting the same laws that China has so that China can profit in Canada. How is it that other immigrants never had that deal? How is it any Canadian who opened up a business or a restaurant or a store or a shop or a factory or whatever never got that deal? Don't you think that's a little bit discriminatory? I think so. Don't you think what's going on is an extreme farce? I get calls from people all the time, still getting calls. What can we do if we take the shot? You know, take the shot. Is there anything we can do to pull it out? I really get sometimes annoyed. I'll tell you why I get annoyed. I get annoyed because nobody took the fucking time to read the documents that these manufacturers of these weaponized injectables wrote. Nobody read them. Nobody read them. Nobody read that they could alter your DNA, that they would change your DNA based on their documentation. I said that long before they even presented that to the GP. I even said that before these doctors came along with their bullshit with spike protein. Yet nobody read the information that, and those who didn't take the vaccines study, these are the wake people. But what really pisses me off is the gullibility that people have in accepting government mandates that have never, ever, ever benefited the general population. I got a thing I'm going to play here. Another thing. Let me see if I can find it real quick. I don't know where I put it. Maybe it's here. Give me 1 second. I forgot to open it up. That's that one. Ah! They're talking. There's a woman comes out here. Hold on. Let's see if I can get her going. Maybe I can get it going right away. She can explain. And I'll explain something, because this is 1975 repeating itself. Or sorry, 1968 repeating itself. Hold on.
I lost my baby during pregnancy, which is the reason that I actually left the healthcare field, because I was working with pregnant women, primarily, reproduction and endocrinology. And I just found it was a little bit too difficult for me to provide quality of care, given my recent loss. So I went back into full-time working in the gas and oil and recruitment sector. And to this day, I am running a global gas and oil recruitment firm. And the reason that this is important is because of what I am seeing as an executive in this industry happening right now as a result of the COVID vaccines. And it's something called succession planning. And if you don't know what that is, look it up. But basically what it is companies need to plan for what's going to happen as their staff move on. Rather, they move up the line, they retire, so on and so forth. And succession planning is something that I help companies with professionally by offering them recruitment services. So they'll come to me and say, hey, we're going to need 100 guys to, you know, staff this rig, so on and so forth. And so we'll provide them that service. Well, what's really interesting, what's happening right now, and it's actually mortifying, not just interesting, is that executives are having their HR staff and their managers, superintendents, foremen, so on and so forth, go through and look at the staff that have received the vaccines, and they're planning to have to replace them all within the next 3 years. What does that say to you? This is something that's, you know, it's got some of these guys literally in tears as they're going through the company and literally checking off all of these individuals that have taken the vaccine, knowing that most likely in the next 3 years, they're going to have to plan to replace that person. What does that say to you? And this is a really big thing in the industry that I'm in. And a lot of talk going on around this at the moment, because these massive companies, massive gas and oil companies, are looking to have to replace thousands of personnel. And I'm in that line of work that does the staffing for these large gas and oil companies. And they're pretty petrified as for what's going to happen to their staff, but also their businesses, because they project that they're going to lose, you know, roughly half of their personnel.
Welcome to Canada, eh? Canada. 2 out of 3 Americans have been vaccinated. 1 out of 2 Canadians have been vaccinated. The projection for most of these people were going to be dead in 1 to 2 years. Wow. Imagine that. Imagine that. The reason why I said it's like the early 1960 or 1968 or thereabouts is because back during that time, the Vietnam War was invented. Invented. And the reason why it was invented back then wasn't to save the Vietnamese from a communist regime takeover. They didn't give a shit about the Vietnamese people at all. Period. Because when the Americans left, they left a lot of them behind. They should have taken them with them, but they didn't. The reason why a lot of that went on is because at that time, in the United States, they had a unemployment issue, a big one. And they needed to do something in regard to coming up with ways to employ people. And at the time, they didn't have anything to do except start a war. So what happened was a lot of the people that were working their jobs had been drafted to go and fight in a make-believe fabrication that they created in order to kill off 58,000 or 60,000 men and women, which opened up the employment back in America, which then brought the numbers back down. This is no different. The only difference is the methodology that they're using. See, war is expensive. To send soldiers overseas and to supply them their food and their shelter and gasoline and petrol for their jeeps and their tanks and airplanes, that's a lot of money. Bullets are expensive. Especially if you don't know how to shoot and bullets are everywhere. And then flying Agent Orange, which is basically your glyphosates and other shit that we have today. So it's easier now, since nobody wants to go to war and die. Even China is having problems recruiting people in the People's Liberation Army. All the young men are saying, Chuck, you Farley. So now China's ramping up to build robots to fill the gap of all these men and young men that don't want to serve in the PLA. See, none of these governments, not one of these effing governments, are worth a fiddler's fuck. None of them. None of them. They all will Shanghai. They will deliberately deceive, maneuver, propagate whatever story, justification to go and die for your country. Go die for your country. That's the highest honor one can hold. Dying for your country is okay if you're going to be in your country defending your country. If Canada's being invaded and we have to take a stand to fight the invader and we die in our country, yes, that would be an honorable thing to do because you're defending our way of life or, well, our way of existence today because we're not living. And that, but to go somewhere else to prop up an industrialist economy in another country under the guise of freeing the people, giving them democracy, giving them capitalism. You saw how that turned out for the Vietnamese people. You saw how that turned out for the Koreans, the country split. You see, no matter where any government has gone in the name of some bullshit, the countries that they go into to help out wind up worse off than before they got there. And majority of these countries today are having problems because outside influences are stimulating the causes of the problems in those countries. If the UN wants something to happen to, say, Yugoslavia, oh, maybe it did. Remember that? Country didn't really have any problems. I mean, they had problems, don't get me wrong. I mean, it was not an angelic place, but they coexisted until outside influences got in there and set one against the other, stimulated that whole situation. They probably had their own problems, going on, but they were never going to escalate to a point where they did unless they had help getting there. But this is, again, part of the control, part of the mechanism to keep everything under the control. Now you don't have to do any of that shit anymore. Oh, no, you don't have to do any of that shit anymore. Now it's easy. Just lie to people. Tell them there's a boogeyman out there. Tell them that you got this experimental that is okay to be released to the general population, and it's okay for us to use this stuff, and then we can experiment with people with these chemical compounds or these genetic compounds or these programmable compounds. Did I say programmable compounds? Why am I saying that so much? Because most people today are still thinking they're getting a vaccine. This is so absurd to me. After a year and a half of this bullshit, people are still thinking they're getting a vaccine. This is astounding to me. Totally astounding. Sad to say, and I will say it this way, but it's really sad to say that whatever happens, you deserve. And it may sound cold, it may sound calloused, but why in the world would you jump into a situation not knowing what it is you're actually doing, not really understanding the nature of what you're putting inside your body, knowing damn well that they're not even approved programs that they're injecting into you, they haven't been tested correctly, and all the animals they have tested have died. This has been common knowledge right from the word get-go. How is it that you would be so willingly, so voluntarily stick out your arm or your ass or whatever to take something that you have absolutely no idea what it is? This floors me. It just floors me. It really does. Everything that I have read in the last year and a half on this stuff, from day one, I had a picture and a illustration showing this is some kind of nanotechnology. I saw the fullerene build up from the bottom up. I saw the quantum dots wrapped up into the protein. I could recognize it right away. I knew from that point on this was not what they told us. I knew this had to have been a modified component. And I did not expect anybody to understand quantum dots and fullerene up, bottom-up construction wrapped in proteins. I was very realistic and pragmatic there about it. So I went and looked up other things that people could relate to and presented those things in such a way that everybody could at least see that, those who could see, or those who would want to see, or those who'd want to hear. But I get, like I said, these crazy emails, and I'm telling you, I light into people. I really do. I have, at this point, no tolerance. We are not 6 years old anymore. We are not people that need to be coddled by mom and dad. We're grown adults. The government of Canada will not give a rat's ass about you. They never have. The only reason they talk the way they talk was to make you feel and think that they're on your side. They're not on your side. And so that you'll be a willing candidate to their experimentation. Here we are. Let me show you how much our government in Canada cares about people, cares about China, you know, being harbingers of death to Muslims in China. Parliament invested Canadian pensions to kill Muslims in China. Some of you might say, well, that's not a bad thing. We're killing Muslims. Really? The last I checked, I could be wrong, but the last I checked, when I seen John 3:16 and John 3:17, I don't see anywhere in there where it says, for God so loved the world, For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should receive him should not perish but have everlasting life. That includes Muslims. They're part of this world. Yeah, there are some bad ones and there are some shitty Muslims, but there are some shitty people that are who call themselves Christians just as well. We have to keep this in mind, that people are going to be people no matter what. So, our pensions went to killing Muslims in China. I don't remember giving our government the right to fund the Chinese to kill Muslims. I don't ever remember saying, hey, that's okay, you can take my pension and send the money over to China so you can kill a bunch of Muslims. I never gave them that okay at all. In fact, I don't want any of my pension money going anywhere except in Canada. And I don't want them killing natives. I don't want them killing colored people. I don't want them killing ethnic people. I don't want them killing Christians. I don't want them killing Muslims. I don't want them killing people of the Judaic faith, Hindu faith, the native faith, or any other faith for that matter. The government we have armed the Chinese to do this. Like I said, you really think your government gives a shit about you? You better think hard on that one. You know, I'm not sure which one to go here first. There's a thing on BitChute I saw where, boy, it's a playback kind of thing, but you get the message here again how our premier in Ontario is a joke, a huge joke. You know, the only way he could have won that election is if he was appointed to win, to be honest with you. You couldn't win it on merit. Anyway, I want you to watch this because I think it's important that you watch and understand the nature of our policies and politics in this country and in our province in Ontario. You know, we are no longer in this. We're not in any real reality. We are in the twilight zone. And we're heading into darkness real quick. So, when we're looking at some of this stuff, this is not something that, this is real. You know, the person was playing this, somebody was saying, well, you shouldn't put this kind of stuff on. Why not? Everyone needs to, see, we got these pansy-ansy candy asses in this country. They never took the nipple out of their mouth. They're still sucking on the nipple. They've never really ever had to deal with any hard reality in this in their lives. They've always had some sort of, you know, tiptoe through the tulip kind of lifestyle. I don't know how that happens, but it does for some people. So when you say anything that may have some sort of derogatory or strong message that's being relayed in the way things are being presented, they get a little bit all, you know, poofy, hoofy, poofy kind of thing. Oh, you should say that because it's going to upset the premier. Oh, really? That was the whole point. It's just, you should do that. You know, this is what I mean. Freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. This is how it has become a contortion today. See, if I say something you don't like, you'll say it's hate speech, or you'll say it's you know, uncalled for, or whatever. But the concept of freedom of speech means that you can speak and say what you want to say. I'd rather hear you say something to me that's straight and true than placate me with some bullshit. That's, you know, I'd rather you, if you tell me you're an asshole, hey, I can handle that. At least now I know where you stand. Now I can have a real dialogue with you. But you come along and start, you know, kissing my ass and pretending that all's well in the world. I have no clue then. None at all. So when we're looking at this whole idea of freedom of speech, just because you don't like something that you're seeing on the YouTube channel or the BitChute channel or the Twitter channel, you know what? If you don't like it, turn it off. That's what we used to say way back in the day. If there was something on the television that you did not like, but other people did, then you had two options. Change the channel or turn it off. See that remote control button? It has a channel switch and an on and off switch. If you don't like what you're hearing, change the channel. If you don't like what you're seeing on that channel, turn it off. See, that gives you the right also to either sit there and watch it or not. See, we used to have some similar issues way back in the day. Back in the day, everybody called everything under the sun. If it was racially profiled, it was used. That's the way it went. And a lot of times, it didn't mean nothing. A lot of times, it didn't mean nothing. Especially if you got around people and you became friends. Everybody would throw that shit around all over the place. It wasn't really healthy. It really wasn't good. But it was sort of a means of rebelling against stereotyping that the systems have made today. Made back then, sorry. And today is no different. We're still stereotyping. It's just now done differently. Now it's done with a little bit more sophistication. Now it's done with a little bit suave. Oh, da-da-da. We're going to make it look pretty. We're going to make it look nice. We're going to make it dance. We're going to make it do all... And that'll be... You know, that's accepted mantra of the day. Unreal. Unreal. It has gone from this nonsense placating to everybody to then targeting people, using money as a weapon. Using our retirement. I still can't get over that. They use our retirement money to kill people in China because they had a faith. I get, you know, that not everybody sees eye to eye. But that's no reason to arm a country to kill people just because they have a belief. That's absurd. In my life, I have met every kind of religion you can imagine. People who have different beliefs and ideologies. I've met Christians, I've met Catholics, I've met Protestants, I've met Baptists, Pentecostals, I have met people of the Judaic faith, different factions of that faith. I've met Hasidic Jews, I've met Muslims, you know, that practice their Islamic faith. And the ones I have met, for the most part, have never tried to take my head off, have never shouted Allah Akbar and with a sword came after me. In fact, we used to go out and eat together and talk and exchange and there was never any issue. I have talked with people of the native beliefs. I have talked with people of Greek Orthodoxy. You know, all kinds of people I've talked with in my life. And not once did I ever have the inclination to want to kill any of them. You know, and yet here we are today. This, you know, for this is the hypocrisy of Canada. The hypocrisy of Canada is we are a tolerant people. We will tolerate, and yet that's intolerance on the grand level, on the grandest level. That's intolerance. You know. Yeah, we may not like the belief system. Yes, we may not like how they, you know, do whatever. But still, it doesn't give anybody the right to kill somebody because of whatever. One day, and it's already happening in Canada. It's right under your nose. It's going on right under your nose. Yeah, ministers already in throughout the country. Right now, primarily in Alberta, they're being harassed, jailed, violated, having their rights violated. And you don't think this is coming to you? Are you holding a Bible in your hand? Are you holding a Quran? How about a Torah? How about your holy book, whatever it may be, the Vedic scriptures, the Buddhist writings and teachings, whatever it may be? You don't think this is going to come to you? You're dreaming. They have hit at the foundation of the West here in the United States and Canada. Right now, predominantly Canada. I haven't heard too much so far in the United States other than California. But if this is now the new trend to remove the faith or to remove God out of the equation, then we are in the most precarious position we could ever want to be in. When the wrath of God is released, There ain't going to be no stopping that. His cup is full, and he's going to cut loose with the goose. And ain't nothing going to be standing. And you know what? I don't even want to be nowhere near that environment when it happens. Nowhere near it. Because there ain't going to be, that's going to be an awe-consuming fire when that cuts loose. So I'm just letting everybody know that maybe a good idea to start reading your Bible, as I've always suggested. You know, start understanding what Jesus had to say. Read those words. Read the books, you know, the letters, Revelation. I always mention that. You know, I, for one, do not want to feel God's wrath. You know, I've already had my ass handed to me throughout my life when God had to redirect my steps. So the last thing I want to feel is the full extent of that. That is not fun. And this is not going to be fun for the world. The world itself may have it coming. Because the leaders that are on the planet today are all children of Belial. And they are the ones that are destroying this planet and us. Because. Anyway, I saw these two movies and I thought perhaps everybody should see them as well. One is a sort of a cartoon called Vetiville, or I think it's one, and the other one's called The Cell. Somebody sent me this thing to see, The Cell, and I looked at it. They both will enlighten you. They both will give you a good idea what they have injected inside of everybody. The tech, the nanobiotech, turning people into what I call biometric API. You'll see that. When you see these, I would encourage you to see these things. See them a couple times. They're going to scare the shit out of some of you. I have no apology for that. But if you get something out of it, if you get to have the correct perception and perspective that you need to see this technology for what it really is, this is probably one of the easiest visuals you're going to get. And it may make you think twice about being cozy with technology. Because they have weaponized that as well. When Elon Musk says that we're already like a Borg because we're using a cell phone and we're interacting with it all the time, he was correct, because the cell phone connects to the DNA. It sends signals to the brain and accesses your head and programs you. Well, it does. Now, with these things here, what they have injected into people, and someone sent me something today that now, oh yeah, that they say it's okay to mix the injectables. This will for sure shorten your life. We did an interview a while back with a woman from a nurse from Ireland or the UK, telling us that was the second shot they were going to put into. They were already doing this. They were already mixing these injectables. That's why some of you are going to drop dead a lot faster. Never, ever, ever, ever volunteer your body to an experimental anything. A, you don't know what it's going to do. B, you know all these people that we have seen on the internet saying, oh, it was a good shot, yeah, but it's okay. Okay, a lot of these people that were initiated into taking these tests, you hear about them anymore. You ever see them come back and say, oh, I'm still alive? I'm just curious. I don't watch television. But everybody I've seen who's taken the shot, I saw one nurse shake like a leaf and die 8 hours later. I've seen people convulse all over the place. I've seen people just stop breathing. Blood vessels busting out all over the place. Metal parts now sticking to people because of the genetic jumping. And a lot of this could be completely avoidable if nobody had taken these damn programs that they inserted into you. What is about to happen could have been completely avoided. But nobody read. Nobody paid attention. Everyone got caught up in the drama of the television. Heebie-jeebie, oh, the TV's on. Oh, look, there's COVID, Corona, variant SARS, COVID-19, and whatever other bullshit they're calling it now. And nobody followed that either. You know what? The best thing anybody could do in this life, other than finding God, but in this realm, in our 3D realm, take your fucking TV and throw it in the dumpster. That would be the best thing you could ever do. And then maybe you'll start reading a book. Maybe then you might be able to shake the cobwebs out of your skull. Maybe then you'll see reality for what it really is. No more hiding in the fantasy world. No more being programmed like a Borg to believe in the unreality that television shows you. Not everything ends nicely. Not everything ends sweetly. Not everything ends, you know, the good guy always wins. That's fantasy. Like I said, we really need to have a major wake-up call. You know what they used to call those back in the day? Back in the day, when a minister used to come into a town and he was heavily anointed by God, we used to call that a revival. Because the light would shine from that person to such a degree that you could feel the presence of God and people would come to hear the word of God. That's what we used to call people that woke up. They had become revivalists, or they went to revivals and had an awakening. Basically, this is what we're probably going to need today, a revival. Those of us who are left, anyway. Those of us who are left, probably already awake, but would feel good to get your batteries charged, wouldn't it? You know. Let's see here. I think I pretty well got everything. Oh, yeah. Restaurants in Toronto now are having a hard time finding people to come back to work. Because a lot of people have moved on to other jobs or other things. So they have gave us a double jeopardy. Those people that, you know, had businesses with people that were trained and knew what to do, have lost that workforce that helped them become more profitable. They have to bring in new people and go through that process of hiring people that are going to learn to do what needs to be done, which is never easy, never easy. And and if they can't get that going, they're not going to survive either. I mean, they got you on one end or the other. Yeah, they decided to hack on either side. Amazing. Just amazing. You know, I am hoping that people will start to read, see things for what they really are, and realize that everything that we have seen, everything that's going on in the world right now is staged. It's all staged by design to direct everybody into entropy. The end of everything. Something for you to think about, I think. Something for you to ponder. Because, like I said, we're going to see more vacancies. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. So I will leave you with, you know, I'm going to wind this down. I'm going to leave you with, go look at those movies I got there. Something to See in Regard to Activation by Frequency. Something to See and Reflect in Regards to Predictive Programming in Regard to Mutation and Transformation as a Result of Code. These are entertainment. This is what's been put out as entertainment. So I am going to give you an entertainment assignment. Watch them. Watch them both. Watch them in one after the other. Watch them. This will hopefully drive you to start searching along the lines you need to see. It'll be important for you to know what's up and down. Alrighty, at the end of these shows, I'm always telling everybody to, you know, go read the Gospels. I mentioned that earlier. Mention it again. In these times that we're in today, it would be a good idea to know where you're going, whereabouts you are at in this time frame or in this time slot. So I always tell people, go read the Gospels. Go read what Jesus had to say. Go read what the letters that were written to the early church. Go read Revelations. Read it for yourself. Read it so that you can get what you're reading, which may take time. Persevere. Don't give up. So that you can start to see things from a God perspective rather than a matrix perspective. And I don't mean that you're God. I mean the way God wants you to see things, or to see things as God sees them. That's how we're supposed to be looking. So go ahead and take a read. Alrighty, I'm always mentioning as well, there are people on my site that are trying to, you know, help in any way, shape, or they can. You got Fiona, you got Liberty, you got Catherine, you got Deanna, you got Three Hearts Church. These are the women putting it out there in regarding to the truth and understanding and whatever they're trying to show you to enlighten you or make you more aware. Then you got, you know, Yanni, Shai, Ty, Ryan, myself, all trying to give you something that can help you get through another day or through another or maybe even find solutions. So anyway, go check out everybody, and if you can help support, please do so. If not, don't worry about it. Share the information. Share it, share it, share it. Alrighty. As I'm apt to say most of the time, you know, we are still here by the grace of God. So till the next segment, to your health. Take care.